I'm going to preach a message, When Enemies Overwhelm, Psalm 3, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 3, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. You know, these two verses really tell a lot, but most of you probably have the Psalm 3, right underneath it, it says a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. So sometimes you can get a mindset of what the psalm's intent is. What's going on in this case, David's life, when he's writing this psalm. He allowed his son to run him out of the kingdom. He didn't have to flee, but he wanted his son to live. And Absalom was somebody that had a lot of issues. He didn't live for the Lord. He lived for self. And we'll see that as we go through it tonight. So what I want you to do is just remember the words there. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say. So the next part is, he's listening to men. It's what they're saying. Many are they that say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. We'll go ahead and look at verse 3 real quick. But thou, O Lord. I always like the buts in the Bible. It's this, but this, and this, but this. And, you know, no hope, but there is hope. And that happens quite a few times throughout Scripture. But I want to go ahead and look at the story behind the story. When you study your Bible and read your Bible, it's, you know, yes, study the Psalms, read the Psalms, pray the Psalms, but know the story that's behind the Psalm that caused the problem that's being addressed. Did David have so many against him and nobody for him? And the answer is not really. That's not the case. David had many that were on his side, many that came and encouraged him, many that came and tried to console him, and it was a dilemma. I mean, it was family. You're probably like me, you know. It's tough when family's involved, you know, and I think of situations, you know, family's involved. It is a tough situation to be in, but that's where we are. We're in Psalm 3, and let's look at 2 Samuel 15. Turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 15. We want to look at the first of all, at the conditions birthing the psalm. 2 Samuel chapter 15, look at verse 13. 13s in your Bible are frequently negative. You know, they're how many colonies rebelled from England? 13. How many stripes do we have on our flag? 13 to represent that, the original colonies. In the 13th year they rebelled. That's the first time 13 is used in your Bible. 13 is how many were there with Jesus, and the 13th one was Judas Iscariot. If you include Jesus in the number, you got 12 plus him is 13. The 13th one was a rebel. And when you see 13s, you know, if you look at chapter 13 in Revelation, you see that's when the 666 shows up. In chapter 13 of Revelation. You can remember things like this as you study your Bible. So, chapter 15, verse 13, we're going to see this is where the rebellion starts. Look at what it says. And there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. So that's the news of Absalom's rebellion. The decision of David to depart is found in the next verse. David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. He didn't want to fight his son. And that's understandable. He wanted to flee and protect him. And he asked that too. He said, you know, go and fight and destroy the enemies, but save my son. So you have to understand, that is normal. That is what the Bible shows us is the norm. Doesn't make it right. David should not have fled. David should have stood his ground, and that rebellion would have been stopped just like that. Remember, this is the guy that can slay a lion and slay a bear when God's on his side. And God is on his side. This is the one that took a slingshot and a rock and just went and killed the giant that had made all of Israel fear. Think about who we're talking about when we're talking about this situation. And then some, you know, young man stands up and says, you know, I'm going to take over the kingdom. I'm going to be king. I'm going to rule, and I'm going to run my dad out. And here's why. We're going to look at the stuff behind it. Look at verse 6. He stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. He stole their hearts by saying, if I was king, I would do this and this. Much like the politics that we saw on television. I wouldn't have handled this and this this way. I would have done this and been a better whatever. Senator, congressman, president, vice president, whatever it is. I would be a better one than the one you have because I would have done it different. And they steal the hearts. Listen, the Bible is not archaic. There are only so many plots in movies from Hollywood, but every plot's in the Bible. Even the bad ones. Adultery? David? Bathsheba? I mean, murder? Uriah the Hittite? I mean, deception? And listen, it's all in there. And that's Hollywood is controlled by the Bible, whether they want to be or not. They just twist it. They just make it. They make it much more sordid. Even when they do I think there was one about. Maybe it was about David, and you know, or no, it was about Saul, and Saul hadn't killed the king Agag, and Samuel comes in and slices him up. I mean, they just show the gore, and they try to make it look like the Bible is bad, and God is vindictive, and God is hateful. Listen. God destroys his enemies because if he doesn't, his enemies will inflict harm greater than you can imagine. The enemies of God today are inflicting harm on God's people. And we have to stand up and say, listen, I'm not going to be influenced by that. I'm not going to say, and I think I just saw today, and I hate reading this stuff because it comes to mind, that Pelosi decided that they weren't going to use mother and father and daughter and son and husband and wife anymore in the rules of the House of Representatives. They weren't going to use those words anymore. They're going to be the most inclusive House of Representatives that's ever existed. No more referring to a mother or a father, male and female. That's where we're heading. That's where we're heading. They steal the hearts. Look at verse 10. Absalom also sent spies throughout the tribes. In verse 10, but Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. Well, David could have stopped that. David could have stopped it just like that. But you know, sometimes you let your guard down. And he let his guard down. Look at verse 11. He takes 200 men to Hebron. But they didn't know what was going on. Look at verse 11. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. They were caught up maybe in the frenzy. They were innocent, simply following the critic. By the way, you got to be careful following the critic. It's easy to complain. I've always had the philosophy when I was in management and managed, you know, many places. Listen, come to me with a problem, try to come with the solution with the problem. You'll go a lot further with people if you come and you say, hey, here's the problem and here's the solution. And you say, oh, well, I'd be usurping their authority and yada, yada, yada. You know, all that. No. Sometimes people in management want to hear your solution for the problem. They don't want to hear the problem. They always hear problems. That's all they get. When we went to Washington, you know, we went to senators and congressmen and talked with them and prayed with them, and we never brought a problem to them. You know what every politician says to me now? Is there anything we can do for you? You know what I do the majority of the time? No, there's nothing at all. Now, I'm getting ready to call in a couple of things and handle it. I don't like the littering all over Niceville. I think it's terrible. If you're out here sometime and you watched it, the garbage truck goes down this road and he backs up the whole way several times a week. You know why? Because it's county and city properties out here, the houses. And so the city has one contract, the county has another contract. You know what I said? I said, I'm going to go to them and say, look, you guys need to work this out. Aren't you concerned about the environment? I mean, I'm going to use people's philosophies to my advantage and say, you need to find out how to get that garbage truck down this road one time in the week, get everybody's garbage, and put the thing together and figure it out. If I've got to, I'll say to these people, I'll say, hey, come on in the city. Let's get this thing fixed. The other thing I say is come in the city and I'll talk to them about getting sidewalks all the way down the road. I'm going to try to get them down here. I talked to Mel Ponder the other day. He's now our Okaloosa County representative. I said, hey, we need to get sidewalks all the way down from here to the water on Valparaiso Boulevard. I said, but it's city, county, and the city's putting them in, but the county's not. He says, we need to work together on that. All you got to do is go and have a solution to the problem. Don't just complain, oh, we got to have more sidewalks. Oh, we got littering. No, we ought to adopt a highway. This church ought to adopt part of Valparaiso Boulevard and pick up the trash on Valparaiso Boulevard. My wife was out there the other day picking it up all around the whole area around here. Yeah, you saw her. You know, and I'm like, Judy, I need you over here because I was cleaning up the house. And then, you know, she finally quit after about an hour and a half, 2 hours it seemed. Might have been 30 minutes, but boy, your husband sure was needing you. But I was like, come on. But I mean, you know, I go out here right before the funeral and I had my hands full. John came out and he said, I'll finish it up. I mean, people just litter and it's disgusting because we have a beautiful city. Why allow? But listen, don't just go with the problem. Go with a solution. That is how you have to be able to handle things in the best way. Anyway, 200 men went in their simplicity. Absalom gained Ahithophel, which is David's counselor. Look at verse 12. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And maybe that's why David's writing the psalm. He's writing the psalm because there are many that are following Absalom. But I do not believe, well, when David finally decided to stand up against the group, they whipped him. He didn't have to leave. But he's looking at it saying, I need to protect my son. Look at, I was going to give you the next point. The people increased continually with Absalom. As David fled, Shimei came forth and cursed David. Look at chapter 16. Chapter 16, we'll see Shimei. Verse 5. And when David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son, and behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. David was not. David did not rise up against Saul. David killed the man that said he had put Saul to death. David was innocent in this thing. And we won't go through the rest of it, but look at verse 13. It says, and as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. You know, you can get him, he's casting up dust and he's throwing stones. And, you know, there's David and all his mighty men. And David's just taking it. Now look, that's not bad. That's, you know, David is showing restraint. That's not a bad thing. But this is why he wrote the psalm. Because he let a Shimei get in his head. You can't let the Shimeis get in your head. You can't let people control you to make you think what they want you to think. Everybody's against me. Everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. Hey, we're in 2021. I love you. Okay? You got one on your side. Just don't let people get in your head. Because once they're in your head, they're the ones that have the joystick. I don't, why do they call that a joystick? That's what came to mind. They're the ones that have the control. Don't let them in. Don't let them in. I'm sure David did. I'm sure David thought when he heard all that, he says, oh man, everybody in the nation is just like Shimei. Everybody feels that way. Everybody's thinking that. By the way, if you listen to the critics, you will think that everybody is just like them. Be careful listening to the critics. So maybe David exaggerated things. Look at verse 15. Let's change course here. Look at 2 Samuel 15, 15. Back a chapter. Look at what David's servant said. And the king's servant said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. They expressed their loyalty to him. Now, it's not a blind loyalty, and you got to be careful about that in church or anywhere else. Your loyalty is not to the pastor when the pastor's in the wrong. Now, give me a little grace and realize you're sometimes in the wrong too. It doesn't mean you got to be disloyal and destroy. Oh, I'm going to crush the pastor. He made a mistake. You know, did you hear how he pronounced that name in the Old Testament? He's wrong. He can't be right about anything. You see what I mean? I mean, don't take it to an extreme, but also don't take the other to the extreme. Don't think that your loyalty is a blind loyalty. That is what gets churches in trouble. That is what gets pastors in trouble. They get put up on that pedestal and say, "Oh, wow, we can't say anything to the pastor that we might not agree with him." I don't have any problem with people coming to me and saying, "Hey, I disagree with something you said." Do it respectfully if you can. I'll try to do that same thing to you. And I'll probably smile, listen, take it in, just because that's who I am these days. But I wasn't always. So you got to be careful you don't push too hard, because even a pastor can get in the flesh and stomp you in the ground until you're bleeding out your ears. Oh, no, just kidding. Oops. That one came out of nowhere. Look at verse 18. David took a large constituent of people with him. Look at verse 18 of chapter 15. And all the servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites, and all the Peliathites, and all the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. He's not alone. You know what the problem is? We start thinking we're alone. Everybody's against me. No, or, you know, like sometimes you'll hear people say, "Well, are you against me too?" Hey, just because people disagree does not mean that they're against you. Sometimes you need to hear disagreements. Sometimes you need to hear both sides. One of the problems you have in marriage relationships and counseling, and I don't do a lot of counseling. You always hear one side, and one side is skewed toward the individual, unless you have personal knowledge. But it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to, you know, get involved in things. Ittai the Gittite expressed his desire to go with David. Look at 2 Samuel 15, 19. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, "Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king." You see, he's already said Absalom's the king. God didn't make Absalom the king. It is inexcusable, really, for David to write that you go back with a king. Absalom usurped the throne. But he says, you go back, "Wherefore goest thou with it? Return to thy place and abide with a king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile." He's saying, look, you got no standing in this thing. This isn't your battle. You don't need to fight it. Just sit on the sidelines. Verse 20. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may? Return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. And Atiah answered the king and said, As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. Sometimes you got to stand up and say, listen, I can't take that advice. God has led me to do this, to follow you, to be obedient to thee, to God. And that's what you need to do. Because sometimes we get in a situation and we think, well, you know, I don't want to hurt this group. So I'm going to give in to them. And I think I'm alone. And yet there's a whole group out there saying, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'll go. And then you look at them and go, no, it's not worth it. Let me tell you some things worth it. This church is worth it. Families are worth it. God is certainly worth it. So be careful. Be careful. Because these are things that aren't thousands of years ago. These are things in our society here and now that we need to figure out how to handle them should we face them. And by the way, there's no problems going on. I'm giving a disclaimer. Just get me through my disclaimer. No problems going on in the church. Zero that I know of. Okay? I mean problems as in, you know, people rising up, wanting to split the church, wanting to fight. No, I don't know. I don't know any of that. Do individuals have problems? Yeah, every one of y'all. Just kidding. All the country, now watch this. How much support did David have? All the country wept with a loud voice at David's departing. Look at verse 23. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. And the king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. Did David have support? But he wrote that psalm and said, there's many. He's listening to the critics. He's listening to the negativity. Do you know that negativity is a lot more outspoken than positivity? Well, I will hear 10 times more negative things than I'll hear for one positive. And if you let that go, like let's say somebody had a problem with something I said, I'll hear that 10 times before I'll hear one time one positive remark. Why? Human nature. It's like reviews online. How many of you, now I don't want anybody to raise their hand, how many of you write positive reviews? You should. You should write a positive review if you have good service. And by the way, let me just tell you this. If you get good service today, you ought to write a review. Because service, I mean, even FedEx was supposed to deliver a package twice, and they sent it back both times. Had my name on it, had the church's name on it, and they sent it back twice. And I never got it. I had to have it sent to my UPS box. Why? Well, I called FedEx. Oh, the regional whatever, will call you. How many phone calls did I get? None. I didn't write a review. I'm not telling you that, but I'm telling you, everybody's working out of their home. You know, they're not being supervised. I mean, listen, do you know, I think if you pay rent now and don't pay your rent, they can't kick you out. What's going to happen when all of that comes due at one time? You know, some of you got your $600 check. Now your balance is $602.75 in your account. Just saw that as a meme the other day. Where did that come from? I mean, why do the politicians get to give you your money back? You know, and they're selling your children's future out. But listen, just you better get a relationship with God, keep that relationship with God, draw closer, because it's all going to come to roost in the near future. I'm just hoping I get far enough in the house where we can actually move in it before it all blows up. Look at verse 24. The priest followed with the ark until David caused them to return. Look at verse 24. Did David have support? And lo, Zadok also and all the Levites were with him bearing the ark of the covenant of God And they set down the ark, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said to Zadok, "Carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, 'I have no delight in thee,' behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him." The king said unto Zadok the priest, "Art not thou a seer? Return to the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz thy son, and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me." Zadok therefore and Abiathar carried the ark of God again to Jerusalem, and they tarried there. They stayed behind, but what was their initial response? "We're going with the king. We've got the ark, we're going with the king." He says, "You go back." Why? He had given up. So when he's writing that psalm, there's some exaggeration there. And you have to realize that. David was still human. Don't think that David couldn't exaggerate the impact of what was going on. David chose to flee. David chose to allow his son to usurp the throne and then called him king. But does he have support? Boy, they wanted to take the ark of God. Let me tell you how important that is. Taking the ark of God and not leaving it behind, that meant the king was leaving. There would be no doubt about that. Man, and listen, you also have to look at it and go, well, you know, David was gracious. David was understanding. David wasn't going to allow his problem to cause problems for others. And by the way, that's very important. You shouldn't allow your problems to impact everybody else. It happens, but you've got to be careful with that. Look at the next one. Hushai met David along the way to express his support. Look at chapter 15, verse 32. "And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount, where he worshipped God," by the way, that's a good thing to do when you're in problems. "Behold," by the way, no, that was, yeah. "By the way, that's a good thing to do when you have a problem. Worship God." Yeah. I need to know there's three people here, not like two. You ought to say amen if you agree with something. I don't mean you got to overdo it. Now, I don't have to have it, obviously, or I probably would have died on the vine already. But you ought to consider that, listen, there are things, amen, and I've already done a study, obviously, but amen means you agree. Okay? When I say to you, whatever I said to you, which was really good, now I've lost it all. Anyway, Hushai met David along the way, and he expressed his support. Hey, back there in the back pew, Hushai. That means hush. All right, look at, then Ziba comes along, the servant of Mephibosheth. He met David with supplies. Look at 2 Samuel 16:1. "And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, upon them 200 loaves of bread, 100 bunches of raisins, 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine." And we've already studied the bottle of wine. That wasn't to get inebriated. One bottle of wine among 600, you know, and there are thousands of people, really. I mean, it wasn't so he can go out and, you know, turn the bottle up. We studied that in the last time we went through 2 Samuel. But look at look at how he had that support. Now look at, so remember Mephibosheth, right? Ziba lied about Mephibosheth. So turn to chapter 19 and let's see what Mephibosheth, remember he's the crippled son of Saul. Look at 2 Samuel 19:24. "And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came in peace. You know what he's saying? He's saying, look, I am in mourning because my king is gone. Ziba lied about Mephibosheth and said he had turned on you. Because you took over the kingdom from his father. Look at verse 25. And it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? He's probably pointing his finger. Why didn't you go with me? Now the guy's crippled. You know, he's not able to walk. And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me, that's Ziba. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame, and he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes, for all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? You see that loyalty there? But yet David doesn't know that. David's fleeing for his life, even though I don't believe he had to. David is looking at the situation. He's listening to the people. If you listen to the critics, you will not make it. If you listen to the negativity, you will not make it. And it's going to get worse. You cannot, and I haven't seen news for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, and I don't want to do it. I'll read a few things. They fire me up too. But they don't get in my eye gate. If I watch it, I don't watch one bit of news. Nothing. I can't. Because it's all designed to get you to think a couple of things. Number one, the sky is falling. In some ways it is, but not if you got Jesus. The idea is to get your eyes off of Jesus. Don't get your eyes off of Jesus. You keep focused on Him. Doesn't matter what the news says. Doesn't matter how bad the world gets. Doesn't matter what's stolen, what's not stolen, whether it's stolen. None of that matters. None of it. If you keep focused. But if you listen and you watch, you will get discouraged. You will get defeated because that's what it's designed to do. It is designed to control your thoughts, to control you and make you less effective in your walk for Christ. Don't let it happen. Now, I'm not telling you you have to be like me. I could watch the news and it's pretty much water off a duck's back. I take information out, but the problem is I would be preaching on it more. Therefore, I can't. If I was watching all of it and just seeing what's out there, and listen, you don't know who's lying and who's not. You really don't. Was the election stolen? We do have our opinions. But I don't know. Maybe it was. But here, okay, think of it this way. I give you your solution. Oh, well, if it was stolen, we're going to get it back. Is Hillary Clinton in jail? Tell me, 4 years. You know, the one that erased with a cloth her hard drive while under investigation, while subpoenaed, and she's not in jail? It's all a racket. Don't let the racket control you. That is the one thing you can look at and say, justice will not be served. So don't get all your hopes. And I tell people all the time, listen, I'm a constitutionalist, but that's not where I bank. Because they can go like this, the Constitution, like she did with the State of the Union, and then go, we're going to throw you in the jail. Well, I got a phone call. Oh, no, there's a thing called the Patriot Act. You're a threat to the country. We don't have to give you that phone. Listen, just telling you, don't think that you have any way of fighting the system without Jesus Christ. So what I say to you is get your eyes on Jesus, Get your eyes off of everything down here as much as you can. Listen, you can't put your head in the sand. I know as much as most of you to a certain extent. Because it's obvious. You can read things, see things, and information comes in pretty quick. But I don't have to see it 10 times. That's what the news will do to you. They'll give it to you 10 times, same thing. They'll just run it. And by the time you get done, you don't even know what to think other than what they tell you to think. I read it once and I get away from it. I say, I don't want to read it again. And I read just enough to know enough to be dangerous, probably. Don't let it control you. Don't let it control your attitude. Don't let it control your psyche. And listen, keep a positive outlook on life. We win in the end. Yeah, we win. Do not think anything less than that. Look at another one. When Shimei came, remember Shimei, he's the guy cursing, throwing the stones? When he came forth, look at chapter 16, verse 9. And all the people, I'm sorry, I'm in 19. Chapter 16, verse 9. So, Shimei is cursing him in verse 9. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? Maybe America is under judgment. Was the election stolen? Maybe so. Will it be overturned and fixed and corrected if it was? No. I don't believe that. I believe that no matter Republican or Democrat or the guy from Utah, they don't care about this country. They care about their pride, their power, and their purses. And their position. Another 4 P's. Supposed to be 3 P's in a poem. Just made that up. Look at verse 11. David said to Abishai, behold, my son which came forth of my bowels seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden it. Now watch this. Think about what he just said right there. Absalom, my son, is rising up against me, and I didn't handle it right. Who am I to handle this guy cursing me if I won't handle my own household? A lot of wisdom there in that. It'd be hypocritical for David to say, yeah, go take off that dead dog's head. And then he lets his son do what his son did? Take over the kingdom unrighteously? Look at verse 12. It may be that the Lord... Now, this is very important. Now, watch this. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. Sometimes it's good to get a good cursing. Don't you, any of you, do it to me. Okay? But I'll tell you this. If it happened, and I don't take it in the flesh, and I let it go, maybe God blesses me with something else that I can't even put the two together, but it happens. Same with you. Somebody does you wrong. The Bible says, why do ye not rather take wrong? Take wrong. People will say things about you. People will do things that are hateful and terrible. How do you react? How do you react to that? Do not let yourself be controlled by others. If you can do that, you'll be a stronger person for it. If you let people control you, then you are not in control. If you let them make you sad, make you mad, then you're not in control. Let God control the situation. And then just like David, maybe the Lord will bless you for it. And I want to tell you from personal experience that He will. Even when you are in the right, let it go sometimes. I'm not saying be a, you know, lie down on the road and put a stripe up your back and see which way people want to roll over you. Bible says be angry and sin not. It's okay to get angry. But how often do you do it? How often do you fly off the handle? Do you always have to get your pound of flesh whenever somebody isn't doing it exactly the way they said they would do it, or they promised they would do it, or the way that the rules are supposed to go? Sometimes you just let it go. Sometimes you just let it go. Look at chapter 17. Look at chapter 17. So David's got support. That's what I'm trying to show you. As David fled, three of his friends met him with supplies. Look at verse 27. And it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim that Shobai the son of Nahash of Reba of the children of Ammon and Machir the son of Amiel of Lodabar and Barzillai the Gileadite of Rogalim brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat, for they said the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. David had support. When you think you're alone, by the way, that's what the church is for. It's to show you dramatically that you are not alone in this world. It is, you know, the Bible says about the man that committed adultery with his father's wife, he was turned over to the devil. How? He was kicked out of the church. The church is a place of protection. The church is a place where it's a harbor for you that you can bring your boat in and tie it up and say, hey, it doesn't mean everybody in the church is perfect. By far, they're not. It doesn't mean nobody in the church is going to hurt you. They will hurt you. But it's supposed to be better than that. The question is, are you making it better than that? In other words, we all have our problems. We all can look in the mirror and find correction, if we'll be honest with the person in the mirror. But that's what we have to do. One more example found in chapter 18. Listen, David was surrounded by loyal men who thought more of his life than their own. In chapter 18, verse 1, the Bible says, and David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. David's got a pretty big group. David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, the third part under the hand of Ittai, the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. The king says, I'm going to go and fight with you. Look at what they said. But the people answered, thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us, neither if half of us die will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it is better that thou succor us out of the city. You help us or assist us out of the city. His men cared for him. They loved him. They protected him. David was willing to go to battle, but it was like, look, if you go to battle as the king and they see you, they're not going to care about us. They'll put everybody, just everybody, coming right at you. You know, you can do more harm sometimes being in a situation like that. It's like a general going to war. You put that general on the front line or you put that general in there, listen, he's going to get everybody around him killed because they're going to go after him. But what does the general want to do? Hopefully, if he's a good general, he's going to want to be in the front of his men and fighting. And dare say, no, I won't say. And dare say women, but I really don't believe in women being in battle. Okay? I'm just telling you, I'm a chauvinist. I believe you ought to open the door for women as often as possible. I got to watch out because yesterday we were leaving Destin or the day before, whatever it was, the day before, and I was trying to get the car started. You know, she was still coming down the steps. I'm in the car, and I knew I didn't open her door, but it was raining, so if I open the door, it's going to sit out there for, you know, 10, 20 seconds. And anyway, she said, "You didn't even open the door for me." I said, "Yeah, I do have a good reason. I did think it through, and I decided it was a better idea not to this time." I just had to explain all that because I was being hypocritical, and I'm red as a beet, right? See, when you tell a lie as a preacher and use yourself as an example when it's not true, you get under conviction. So if you ever want to know if I'm under conviction, this is what it looks like. Look at chapter 23. One more. I said one more, but this is the same point. Remember he wanted a drink of water from Jerusalem? Look at verse 14 of chapter 23. David was in a hold in the garrison of the Philistines and was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. Was David loved? Sure he was. You can never get to where you think you're alone. And again, that's what the church is about. The church is here to show you that others love you, they care for you. We're supposed to be in unity around the truth. That's what we're supposed to do. And if people try to destroy that, you can't let that happen. I don't encourage everybody to join the church. Just don't. Not everybody's right with what this church stands for. We're at unity around the truth first. If people have beliefs that are contrary to the Scripture that are significant enough, they can't join this church. Because I've watched it. You just want to get preachers just want to get numbers in the pews. Listen, I'd love to have bodies on every pew in here, socially distanced, just to be politically correct. But not at the expense of destroying our body of believers. It's not worth it. So we'll protect the church. Now it doesn't mean that I'm right and everybody's got to agree with me 100%. I guarantee you do not. You do not. It is not thus saith Doug Stauffer, but it is thus saith the Scripture. But if, you know, if I look, you know, if there's certain things that you fall on your sword about and there's certain things you don't. And I just want to make sure. So turn back to the book of Psalms. Psalm 3, verse 1. Now let's read it in a different light after we've just studied what's going on. Remember, this is written while he fled from Absalom, his son. "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say," he's listening, "of my soul there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield from me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." See the solution? You get down, turn to God. You get feeling like you're alone, turn to God. Turn to others in the church. Get help. We are here as a body of believers, and there's a reason for that. Church is not just a social organization, far from it. Now, that doesn't mean we don't socialize like we did this afternoon. You know, had a good meal over there. Some of you weren't able to come. You know, we got the COVID situation. I get it. I don't want anybody to get outside of their comfort zone during these times. I support your decision to attend church, not attend church, to come to a fellowship, not come to a fellowship. But I'm not doing a bunch of meetings for that very reason. I am not going to bring a bunch of visitors in here en masse. And even part of the reason why I was sort of glad we didn't do the January 19th thing, part of the reason was because I just don't feel comfortable, you know, having a larger gathering. It would have been during the day. It would have been different. But many of you might have been able to come. And then our, you know, like we were talking about tonight, some people had Christmas gatherings. Somebody came home with a temperature and boom, there's a lot of people with COVID. It is a real virus, politicized, unfortunately, in a election year. And that's why you just can't figure out anything. I can tell you this, I am glad we live in Florida and not California. Because I think it's handled right in Florida. You have your rights to live, make a living, and they have no right to shut down your business so Walmart can take all the business. And that's what they've done. That is wicked as the day is long. And where does Walmart buy their stuff? From the very ones that gave us the virus, China. So don't turn a blind eye to it. And by the way, you want to get me mad? Let's just keep talking about it. We're not going to do that. We're just going to look at this right here and realize that you can turn to God if you're in trouble. And turn to Him before the trouble comes so the trouble doesn't have to get you focused where you should have been focused already. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your many blessings. Lord, we thank You for such a great group of people, Lord, a great church. We ask Your blessings upon us. We want You to guide and lead and direct this body of believers. Help us to be faithful servants of Thee. We need You. We need Thee every hour, the song says. We need You every minute, every second of the day. Help us when we get to feel defeated like David was when he was fleeing from his son to look to Thee for the answers. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, if God's spoken to you in some way, I want you as a word of testimony. If God's spoken to you in some way, would you just slip your hand up as a word of testimony? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Amen. I don't ever do that much, but I just felt led to do it. If God's spoken to you right now, right where you are, ask Him to help you in whatever is troubling you, whatever is, it could be as massive as the world situation.